Please turn again to Acts chapter 24. At the close of our meeting tonight, I want to draw your attention to a man in the Bible by the name of Felix. We read, of course, about Felix in this chapter, Acts chapter 24. Felix was the Roman governor of Judea. And in this chapter, the Apostle Paul is standing on trial before him. And we'll say more about that next Lord's Day. At the beginning of our story here, Felix was a man who had no time for the gospel. However, the more Felix listened to Paul speak about the things of God, the more interested Felix became in the Christian faith. Indeed, on several different occasions, Paul had the opportunity to present Felix with the message of the gospel. And there's no doubt that this Roman governor had a keen desire to increase his knowledge concerning scriptural things. However, the sad reality is this. Although Felix sent for Paul many times and talked to him about spiritual matters, this Roman governor never came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the truth is that Felix was a man who seemingly showed an interest in the things of God, but was not willing to step out and identify himself with Christ and be saved. I wonder, is there someone in this meeting like that tonight? You have an interest in the gospel. You come and listen to the gospel week by week, and yet you're still outside of Christ. You have never, up until this point in your life, identified yourself with Christ by coming and trusting him as your own and personal Savior. My friend, there's someone here tonight like that. I pray that God will take his word and write it upon your heart and write it upon your soul. Because here we have a message for your soul this evening. And I pray that you'll listen very carefully as we consider this man, Felix, the Roman governor. Now, what do we learn here about Felix? Well, first of all, I want you to notice the privileges Felix had. When you study these verses that we have read together, you see very clearly that Felix had three great privileges. First of all, he had the privilege of hearing the gospel. What a privilege. Then he had the privilege of having the opportunity of being saved. And then, thirdly, he had the privilege of God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to him. Look what we read in verse 24 of this chapter. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And then look up a few verses there in verse 22, and you'll read these words. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way. Of what way? Of the way of Christianity. You see, Paul here, the preacher, as he stood before Felix, he preached the gospel to Felix. And the truth is this, that Felix had a desire to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a privilege. What an honor. And as Felix listened to the gospel, as he listened to Paul preach about Jesus Christ, he was given an opportunity to be saved, I believe. Because God, the Holy Spirit, I believe, spoke to Felix. Look what it says there. In verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. I believe he trembled under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit as he thought about going out and meeting God, as he thought about dying in his sin, as he thought about the judgment day. He came under conviction of sin because Felix knew, of course, that he was not right with God. Felix knew that he was not prepared for death and for eternity. And as the preacher preached to him and warned him about the judgment to come, and revealed unto him his great need of salvation, his need of being saved by the grace of God, the Bible tells us here that he literally trembled under conviction of sin. You know, men and women, tonight in this gospel meeting, you have many privileges. One of the privileges that you have is coming here week by week and hearing the message of the gospel. Across this world, tonight, there are many and they have never heard the gospel once. They have never had a missionary go and tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. There are many in this world, and never once have they heard that the Son of God has died and shed his precious blood for their sins upon the cross, and that he has risen again. And yet, you're here tonight, and week by week as you come under the sound of the gospel, you have the privilege of hearing how you can be saved. You have the privilege of hearing that Jesus Christ has died for your sins, and that he is willing to save you. And not only have you the privilege of hearing the gospel week by week, but you have the opportunity of being saved. And even in this gospel service tonight again, that opportunity is given to you again, whereby you can come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. What a privilege. And you have also the privilege of God speaking to you. I don't believe there's anyone here in this meeting tonight who the Lord hasn't spoken to. I believe that everyone, even those of you tonight who are not saved, as you've sat under the sound of the gospel, I believe that God the Holy Spirit has spoken to you many times of your need of salvation, not only in church, not only as you sit under the sound of the gospel, but outside of church, when you go home, at your work, wherever you are, day by day. I believe that the Lord has spoken to you. And even tonight again, as you sit under the sound of the gospel, these privileges that Felix had, they're your privileges. They're your privileges. I've already pointed out that Felix not only heard the gospel from Paul once, but he heard the gospel from Paul on many occasions. What a privilege. What a privilege to be brought up in this country of ours where the gospel is preached in every town and village and city and hamlet. What a privilege it is to come in and hear the message of saving grace week by week. What a privilege it is to have the opportunity to bow the knee at the foot of the old rugged cross and by faith and in repentance trust Jesus Christ as Savior. What a privilege it is for the Holy Spirit of God to work in your heart and to work in your soul and to reveal unto you your need of a Savior and to reveal unto you that Jesus Christ is that Savior. Oh, my friend, don't reject those privileges. Don't spurn those privileges. Because as I have already said, there are many across this world and they're dying in their sins. And never once have they heard the message of the gospel. Felix was a privileged man. He was a privileged man. But I want you to notice something else here. I want you to notice the problems Felix faced. Now, as I read this passage of Scripture, Felix faced two problems. First of all, he faced the problem of what his friends would say if he became a Christian. Now, Felix had many worldly friends, all of which he associated with on a regular basis. People like Festus and his wife Priscilla, and even Caesar himself was the friend of Felix. And there were many others. And these individuals, they had no time for the gospel. They had no time for what Paul was preaching. And if Felix got saved, how would he ever tell these people that he had become a Christian? So this was a barrier to Felix, I believe. He also faced the problem of giving up his sin that he loved. There's no doubt that Felix lived for sin and loved his sin. He loved the pleasures of the world and all that entailed. You don't be a governor, Roman governor, and not indulge in sins. And all the Romans loved their sins, and Felix was no different than anyone else. Of course, the truth was that none of these problems that Felix faced were insurmountable. Felix could have repented of his sin and been saved. But the truth was, Felix loved his sin so much that he wasn't prepared to give it up. Felix could have stepped out for Christ in spite of his worldly friends. And the truth is this, that many down through the centuries have come to Christ in spite of their worldly friends and in spite of the sins that control them. Indeed, even today, there are those who are getting saved week by week, day by day. And they're repenting of their sin, they're turning away from their sin, and they're allowing nothing or no one to hinder them from coming to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. My friend, you're not saved tonight. As you think about salvation and being saved, what are the problems that you face? Or should I say, the problems that you perceive that you face? Because they're only problems in your mind. They're only obstacles that the devil has set up in your mind to stop you from coming to Christ. Because if you were to get saved tonight, these problems that you perceive would fall into insignificance compared to the joy and the happiness and the peace that Christ would give you this evening. Oh, I pray tonight that you will consider your latter end. You're in this meeting this evening. You're not a Christian. You're not born again of the Spirit of God. There's something hindering you from coming to Christ. There's something stopping you from putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. I believe these were some of the hindrances in the life of Felix. What are the hindrances in your life? What has the devil put before you to stop you from coming and trusting the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer? My friend, whatever they are, they're not worth it. And we're going to see just in a moment that Felix lost everything because he chose his friends and he chose his sins and he chose his pleasures instead of stepping out and trusting Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. The Bible says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. Oh, what obstacle, what perceived problem has the devil planted in your mind to stop you from coming and trusting Jesus Christ as your Redeemer? We can see here in this story, in these verses before us, here's a man who hears the gospel. Here's a man who has an interest in the gospel. Here's a man who wants to know more about Jesus Christ and Christianity. Here's a man who hears about the judgment to come, who hears about hell, who hears about dying and going out to meet God. Here's a man who comes under conviction of sin. He trembles as he thinks about meeting God unprepared. And yet he allows these problems to come between him and God. He allows these problems to come between him and his soul's salvation. Oh, what a fool Felix was. My friend, I have to say it to you tonight, and I say it lovingly to you, you're a fool if you allow these seeming problems to come between you and your soul's salvation. Oh, I pray tonight that the Lord will take a dealing with your heart and a dealing with your soul. And even tonight, that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's the third thing I want you to notice here. I want you to notice the pathway Felix chose. Now, it's evident to see here from this passage of Scripture that Felix went down the pathway of rejection, because Felix rejected the message that he heard. Look what we read here in this passage of Scripture. Look there at verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered. Now here's his choice. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Look at verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, he left Paul bound. In other words, he chose the pathway of rejection. What did he reject? He rejected God's Son. He not only rejected God's Son, but he rejected God's Word. He not only rejected God's Word, but he rejected God's time. And he not only rejected God's time, but he rejected God's Spirit. My friend, I wonder tonight at the close of this another gospel service, are you going to go out of God's house again unsaved and unprepared? Are you going to again choose the pathway of rejection? Saying no to God's free offer of salvation. Saying no to God's Son as your Savior. Saying no to God's time. For God says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Are you going to again say no to God's Holy Spirit as God's Holy Spirit strives with you? Oh, I pray tonight that you will not be like Felix, be foolish enough to go out of another gospel meeting saying no to God's wonderful redemption. Because the truth is this, and the Bible tells us that the day will come, maybe tonight, but the day will come when God's Holy Spirit will stop striving with you. My Spirit, God says, shall not always strive with man. There comes a time we know not when, a place we know not where, that seals the destiny of men for glory or despair. There is a line unseen of men that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. And that's why it is so important. Indeed, that's why it is imperative that you come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. That's why it is imperative that you turn from your sin, even this very moment, and cry unto God for salvation, and seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Felix made the wrong choice. Felix thought that he had plenty of time to get saved. He thought he had plenty of time to make his peace with God. That's why he said to Paul, go thy way for this time, and when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. See what he's doing? He's making his own terms. He's setting his own time. And he's telling God, well, I'll sort this matter out when I feel like it. I'll get right with God whenever I want to get right with God. I'll repent of my sin when I want to repent of my sin. I'll come and trust Jesus Christ when I feel that I should trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. My friend, I wonder, is that what you're doing tonight? Maybe deep down in your heart, you know you need to be saved. Maybe deep down in your heart, you know how to be saved, but you're playing about with your soul. You're playing about with God. And you're saying, well, I'll get saved, but not now. I'll get saved, but some other time. At my own convenient season, when I choose. Oh, my friend, that's the wrong decision to make. That's the wrong attitude to have. Because the truth is this, that your own convenient season might never come. And as far as Felix was concerned, his convenient season never came. Now, he spoke to Paul again, and they conversed, I believe, about the things of God again. That's what we have in the latter verse. But he never trembled again. We never read of Felix trembling again. We never read of Felix coming under conviction of sin again. We never read of Felix seriously considering his soul's salvation again. That's why, my friend, if God is speaking to you tonight, and I believe he is, if the Lord is striving with you tonight, and I believe he is, if the Lord is doing a work in your heart tonight, and I believe he is, then you need to step out for Christ right now and seek the Lord and cry for mercy and ask him to have mercy upon your soul and to save your soul for time and for eternity. Your own convenient season will not come. Just as it didn't come for Felix, it will not come for you. Now, you might make your plans. You might say, after I'm married, I'll get saved. When I'm older, I'll get saved. When my family are raised, I'll get saved. When I'm on my deathbed, I'll get saved. But you'll not. Because God's salvation must be accepted in God's time. And God's time is now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, there's something else I want you to notice here about Felix. The price Felix paid. The price Felix paid for rejecting the gospel, for rejecting God's Son and God's Word and God's time and God's Spirit, was that he lost his soul and he went to hell. He went to hell. And of course, that's where Felix is tonight. He's in hell. You know, sometimes when we read about these characters in the Bible, we forget. We forget that they were real people who really lived upon this earth and who really made choices when they lived upon this earth. And they paid the consequences because of those choices that they made when they lived upon this earth. And Felix tonight is lost. He's lost. This is the price that all men pay when they reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. Today, it is the time to seek the Lord thy God, because tomorrow you may find, for you, it is too late. The Bible says, today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. And the truth is, I believe that Felix hardened his heart. I wonder, is there someone in this gospel service tonight and you're hardening your heart? You're resisting. I believe there are those in this gospel meeting. And you're resisting the strivings of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're resisting the gospel. You're resisting getting saved. You're resisting coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, be careful. Be careful. Because God could just cut you off. And your soul would be plunged down into hell forever and forever and forever. Because while there is a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun. Turn over to Luke 16 for a moment. We read about the rich man who went to hell. Now, he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he rejected. He rejected God's way of salvation. My friend, that's the only reason why men go to hell. Because they reject God's Son as their Savior. They reject God's way of salvation. And this man had everything as far as material things of life were concerned. Look at verse 19. There was a certain rich man, Luke 16, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. This man had everything that this world could give. He had money, he had wealth, he had riches, he had prosperity. He had everything, humanly speaking, that any man could have. But there was one thing he had not. He had not God's salvation. And you see, friend, when you come to die, it doesn't matter what you have upon this earth, you have to leave it all behind you. And this man, when he came to die, he had to leave it all behind him. His wealth, his riches, his prosperity, his fine living, he had to leave it all behind him. And look what happened to him in verse 22. And it came to pass. Look at the latter end of the verse. The rich man died. And he was buried. And underline verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Maybe you're here tonight in this gospel service. Maybe you don't really believe there's a hell. And if you do believe there's a hell, maybe you believe, well, it's not for me. Although you're not saved yet, well, it's not for me. For you intend, like Felix, to get right with God. That more convenient season in your mind will come, but it'll not come. And when you die and leave all your worldly goods to others and leave your life that you'd lived upon this earth, you will go down into a lost eternity. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. That's the price you'll pay for the decision that you're making tonight of rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. And my friend, I want to say that faithfully to you this evening. And if you hear nothing else from this pulpit tonight, you hear this, and you hear it well, and you hear it clearly. When you die, without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will lift up your eyes in hell and you'll be tormented forever and forever and forever. That's where Felix is tonight. That's where the rich man in Luke 16 is tonight. And that's, my friend, where you will be if you reject the message of the gospel and reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's why I plead with you this evening to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus this evening. That's why I impress upon your heart tonight to seek the Lord and call upon Him in repentance and faith. That's why I plead with you to turn from your sin and find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. Because thank God there is mercy for you this evening. There is salvation. Jesus has died. He has shed His precious blood. The Bible tells us He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And upon the cross of Calvary, the Savior laid down His life a ransom for the many. And thank God, if you, the sinner, would come tonight in repentance and faith and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He will save you on the basis of that work that He has accomplished upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. But my friend, you've got to come. You've got to come the way of the cross. You've got to come as a sinner to Jesus. You've got to come the way of repentance and faith. You've got to come. Sitting in your seat will not save you. Going out of the meeting again will not save you. Hoping that you'll get another opportunity some other time, it'll not save you. It'll not guarantee you a home in heaven. It'll not guarantee that your soul will not be lost in hell forever. Oh, that's why I plead with you tonight to come and trust Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for Thy precious word. We thank Thee, Lord, for thy truth. And we pray, Lord, this evening that men and women will heed the warning. We think of the privileges, the opportunities.